Praise God. Well, let's just turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John. John 14, and we're going to read from verse 23. John 14 from verse 23. Yeshua answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Bless your holy word to us, we pray, our Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. We are continuing with this series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We started off with the most important one, the central fruit, which is love. Then 2 weeks ago, we spoke about joy. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. The next fruit of the Holy Spirit mentioned in that passage in 9 is peace. Love, joy, peace. And here we see the Lord saying, "My peace I leave with you." Amen. Now, if truth be told, the whole world hungers for peace. Amen.
Yes.
Anybody on this earth longs to have peace. It's human nature to long for peace. Now, what's the devil's trick, you see? He knows the human heart, and it's very much like we're hungry. We need food. Now, you and I have to eat the right food to be healthy, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, the devil sees that we're hungry, and we're about to reach for the apple, and the devil comes along and says, "No, take some ice cream." Can you see that?
Yeah.
Because we're hungry, yes, we go for it. It looks good. Can you see that? Now notice what the Lord said. "My peace I leave with you." Okay? There's a very big difference between the peace that the world system offers us and God's peace. Can you see? The one is an illusion, actually, as I'm going to show. The other one is the real thing. And that is what you and I hunger for. But we've got to understand what it is. Amen? If we don't understand what it actually is, as I always say, we don't know what we're looking for. We know we need it. It's almost like a child knows they're hungry. What they don't know is their body has certain requirements, vitamins, etc., protein.
Yeah.
Right? They don't understand that. As you grow older, well, this is my experience, you learn these things. My body doesn't need that, but it does need that, you see. And the real thing will do the greatest good. Now, we all hunger for peace. There's a story which I often share. In the early 1900s, there were great things happening in the world. Britain was building her empire throughout the world. They wanted to see the whole world covered in red, as they said. The sun mustn't set on the British Empire. And one of the great empire builders was a gentleman that we all know by the name of Cecil John Rhodes. He was here out from England because of health reasons. But he built a massive empire with diamonds, with gold, with building, and all over. He was known as a great industrialist empire builder. Anyway, he was in England, in London, on one occasion. At that stage, there was an organization that God had blessed the world with, known as the Salvation Army. You might know about the Salvation Army, but they were blood and guts Christians that went to the worst of the worst and got sinners off the streets, saved and restored, and they were like an army. They called themselves the Salvation Army. You know, they used to go around with their bands and all that. Very effective, and they did a lot for God. That was an instrument God used. Their founder was a gentleman by the name of, he called himself General Booth. Anyway, General Booth and Cecil John Rhodes were in a carriage, apparently, in London on one occasion. And they're having a discussion. And Cecil Rhodes, this very wealthy man, said to General Booth, as a Salvation Army officer, you mustn't have a cent. Basically, they gave everything away. And Rhodes said to him, I would give everything I have just to have the peace that you have. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I'll give away everything to have the peace that you have. Now, I don't know what General Booth said to him, but the truth of the matter is Cecil John Rhodes could have had his peace, and it wouldn't have cost him everything he had. It would have cost him something more. It would cost him. But you see, the point is this. There's a big difference between the peace that the world offers and God's peace. The peace that the world offers is dependent on our circumstances. The peace that God offers goes way beyond that, but it's subtly different. In all of us, there's this hunger for peace. We want peace. Now, when the world speaks of peace, what we are speaking about is the absence of any stress, right? So what we talk about when we speak about peace, we don't want there to be any danger or any cause for fear, okay? And so how do we go about that? We go about that by as best we can trying to control our environment. Amen? We want to sleep well at night. We're scared of being burgled. So what do? We build big walls. We put in alarm systems. We hire security companies. All these things to give us peace of mind when we sleep. We're afraid of getting sick. So what do? We spend a fortune, some of us, on medical aid. Make sure there's a backup system for us in case we get sick. You see, and we think, oh, well, we'll be fine now. All right? Nations, because they want peace, build up big armies, protect their borders, make alliances with other nations, all the time trying to do what? Control our surroundings. Amen? Yes. That's how we long to have peace. But the problem with that is this. There's no ways anybody can control all their surroundings. And in fact, the more we try, the more afraid we get. Do you know there was a very wealthy man in America at one stage? When he was introduced to anybody and had to shake somebody's hand, he always wore a glove. You know what? He was so scared of contracting some form of sickness. The point is, he was scared of being sick. He had so much to live for. He didn't want to die early, so he made sure that his environment was protected. Well, can I just say something? You can't control your environment. There was one person in the heart of the COVID epidemic. He observed all the procedures, went down to Durban, and when he came back, he had contracted COVID and he died. What I'm saying is, he did everything he could to protect himself and he died. You can't control all your circumstances. In the same era, the early 1900s, you might know there was the Boer War here on in South Africa. And the British sent their administrator, Lord Milner. Now, this Lord Milner had quite a big knob there in Britain. He had all the titles you can imagine. And he came out here to, as it were, bring peace to South Africa. His idea of peace was to stamp the British Empire on South Africa and obviously to get the gold more than anything else. And we know how terrible that Boer War was. But here we have a man who had the power of the greatest empire behind him, their navy, their army, etc. on his side. He had all the power of wealth and fortune and position. Guess what happened to him? A simple tsetse fly bit him, contracted sleeping sickness, and died. What am I trying to say? You can't control. So you see, if that's your mentality, you will never have peace. All right? When we as humans, in a human understanding, speak of peace, we're speaking about protection, generally speaking. Control and protection. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Peace of mind, they say. Invest all this money in this bank and then you can have peace of mind. Lo and behold, the bank goes belly up and, you know, there goes your peace of mind and your fortune. But the point is, you see, you and I are striving for that peace. It's like trying to find the gold at the foot of a rainbow. Did you ever hear that story? I heard as a kid. A pot of gold at the foot of a rainbow.
At the end of the rainbow.
At the end of the rainbow. So we went to Victoria Falls as a family And in the rainforest there, there are hundreds of little rainbows all over because of the moisture in the air. So here I'm jumping around. I thought I was active. Guess what I found? Wherever I went, it disappeared, the rainbow, you see. That's trying to get peace the world's way. It doesn't exist. You will never have peace. Amen. Now, let's think about the peace that the Lord gives us. Remember, he said to them, my peace I give to you, not as the world. In the world, you'll have difficulties. He said that. You'll have trouble. You have turmoil. We all know that. You'll have persecution. You'll have it while you're in the system. But despite all of that, you can have peace. Now, what he meant by his peace is this. You see, the root word for peace, the Greek, I won't go into it, but the foundational word on which that word is constructed has this meaning, to join, connection. Please, this is so important. Get this in our minds, connection. And when we talk about the peace that God wants us to have, it comes from connection with him. Can you see that? In that passage we read, he spoke about, my Father and I will come to you. We will dwell in you. Can you see? And that's why he said, my peace I give you. Now, let's understand what peace is. In God's terminology, perhaps a better word for it would be harmony. You see, when you and I are in harmony with God, we have peace. It's real peace. Your and my spirit man can find rest. Right? Can you see that? The world system of peace is protection. God's system of peace is connection. Right? The world system of peace is protection. God's system of peace is connection. In Ephesians, we won't go there, but it speaks about he is my peace. That's the Lord is our peace. Why? Because he has broken down every wall. Can you see that? What is that wall that he broke down? Well, you see, you and I as human beings, when we involve ourselves with sin, you know what happens? It builds a wall. All right? It builds a wall. How does it build a wall? Well, you and I know we've done something we know we shouldn't. We feel guilty. Okay? The moment we feel guilty, we don't want to go to God. We feel guilty. Look what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they fellowshiped with the Lord every evening. Until what? The moment sin entered the picture, they felt the need to do what? Hide away. Can you see? Hide away. Why? They felt guilty. That's the devil's trick. You see, you and I sin, he comes, puts guilt on us. Now we feel, oh, we're not good enough to face God. A lot of people won't set foot in a church. Why? They've got every excuse. Why not? But you know what the real reason is? They feel ashamed. They don't want to confront their guilt. If you feel guilty, what do? You rather put it aside. I remember as a little boy, you see, here I am in the crocodile. You know what a crocodile is when you're all in line? And we're going to church. On Sunday mornings, we went to church, you see. And on our way to church, we passed a bakery called Wayne's Bakery. I'll never forget it. Can you imagine a little schoolboy walking past Wayne's Bakery? Smell of fresh baked bread and whatnot. Now, you sit in church for a whole service. You don't hear a thing. What you're thinking about is, you see, they gave you 5 cents for the offering. You know how many of those cakes you could buy with that 5 cents? Okay, so here I am sitting in church. I know the offering's going to come around. Now, am I going to take this fortune and give it to the Lord's work? Or am I going to hide it and stop at the bakery and do Graham's work for his stomach? You understand? On one occasion, I chose the latter, all right, and I got caught. And we had a master there by the name of Mr. Sutherland. And one thing you learned at boarding school, in those days, they were allowed to give you a hiding with a cane. The good old days, you know, kept everybody along the straight and narrow. But the one thing you learned at school was to avoid the masters that played squash. You know why? Because the squash players had developed forearms, you see, and that beating was worse than the rest. And Mr. Sutherland was an expert squash player. So Gary said, okay, I'll see you later. You know what see you later means? Fortunately, between there and church and whatever, he forgot about it, I think. But you know what happened? From that day forth, for the next 6 months, whatever, in the school environment, whenever I saw Mr. Sutherland, what did I do? Called ducking and diving, you understand? I wanted to avoid the squash forearm, you understand? You see, that's it. So the moment you and I involve ourselves with some form of sin, we don't want to pray. We don't read the Bible. Why? There's a wall of division, you see. And guess what? The moment there's that wall of division, you know what happens to you and my peace? You understand? It's gone. And the Bible speaks about there's no rest for the wicked. Do you know that? No rest for the wicked. No matter how you try and enjoy life, can I tell you something? You can't. Why? Deep down, your spirit knows that it's not right with God. You understand? We do not have the peace of God, which the Bible says passes all understanding. It's way beyond anything you can understand. Can you see that? So you see, the moment the devil can now put that little barrier between you and I, there goes our peace. And with our peace, we lose a lot. Let me tell you, we lose a lot. We lose our heritage without our peace. Amen. So you see, the beautiful thing is, the Lord came to do what? Remove that barrier. Can you see that? The moment you and I come to him like we do when we come to the table, Father God, forgive me. The moment we do that, guess what? That barrier is now lifted. We have connection with God, and with that comes peace. Peace that's beyond anything that can be described. And when you and I have that peace, what happens around us is almost irrelevant. You understand? Now, I'm not saying that we must walk around in cloud cuckoo land and pretend there's no problems. No, there are problems. We need to confront issues. You understand? We need to, sometimes when we don't have peace, find out why we don't have peace. We need to sort out root issues. It's not just as simple as that. But the point is, God wants us to have peace. Amen? We spoke about that example of Stephen. Remember Stephen, who was being stoned to death? That terrible situation, yet despite that situation, what did he have? Perfect peace. Why? His eyes were fixed on heaven. Amen. Now, the word says that we need to labor to enter into this rest. Please understand, the peace of God is not just automatic. It's available to all. It's very much like the petrol station. There's a petrol available at the moment, fortunately, but you have to go and fill up. Why? Because in the natural, you see, what happens is, living in the world, our minds get distracted with the issues of the world. All right? What happens then? Every time we get distracted with the issues of the world, you know what actually happens? The devil comes and steals a little bit more of our peace. You understand? It's like you see what's happening in our country. What happens? Oh no, we're going to have big trouble now. Immediately what happens? Oof, goes a bit of peace. Now, I'm not saying that you and I must be like ostriches, so to speak. I believe it doesn't happen, but ostrich with his head in the sand and just ignore issues. Okay, we're not saying that. However, what we've got to realize that as we deal with issues, they will steal our peace and our joy. What have we got to do? Get back in. Can you see that? That connection with God does suffer stress. What have we got to do? Go back, renew. Can you see? That's why we have communion regularly. Do we only have communion here when we know that somebody in our community has sinned? No. What are we doing here? We are restoring our connection, you see. And let me tell you, when you have connection with God, you automatically have peace. It's a byproduct. See, but you've got to labor to enter into that rest. It doesn't happen automatically. If you and I ignore the things of God, as we know, we don't pray. We don't read the Bible. We don't fellowship. What happens? Slowly but surely, that peace, it fades and we end up being worried and we're no longer the salt of the earth because we're just like everybody else. Amen? Can you see that? Now, let me explain something. Peace, that fruit of the Spirit, is extremely powerful. Please, it's not a wishy-washy, weak little thing that we have like a side issue. No, it's extremely powerful. For one, let me tell you something. If you and I are living in the peace of God, we become very powerful witnesses to God in the world. If everybody around you is drowning and you're on a lifeboat, what does everybody want? Get on board with you. Amen. If things are falling apart in the world and everybody else, their hearts, as the Bible describes it, are failing because of fear, and we stand there peace and calm, who are they going to turn to? If you are drowning, do you clutch onto somebody who's drowning next to you?
No.
You'll both go down. All right? People don't want others that don't have peace when they are struggling. You think of the Lord. Here the storm is billowing around the ship. Now please, these are hardened sailors. They had seen storms. But on this occasion, this was a mother of a storm, and they were convinced, please note, they were convinced, we're going to drown, we're dead, this is over. It must have been for them a very big storm. So this is a very difficult situation for them as human beings. And of course, they cry out to the Lord. Guess what the Lord's busy doing? Do you know what the Bible says? He's asleep. But not only asleep, he's asleep on a pillow. Isn't that beautiful? He's asleep on a pillow. In the midst of a storm, he's asleep on the pillow. You think of Peter. Stephen had just been stoned to death. Peter's now imprisoned. Just think about this. How well would you sleep if you think tomorrow they're going to stone you? Would you have a nice, peaceful sleep?
No.
Peter was so fast asleep, when the angel came to deliver him, he had to kick him to wake him up. That's peace. That is peace. Amen? Why? Eyes fixed on him. So it's very powerful from an evangelistic point of view, for a start. But the other big advantage of peace, now this is really important. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. That word rule, the best way to describe it is like an umpire. Do you know when they play tennis, you have the guy on his high stool. That's the umpire. What is he doing? He's got to decide whether it was a fault or not. Can you see that? He decides. Right now, the Bible says, let the peace of God be the umpire in our hearts. You see, and the advantage of that is this. You and I are experiencing big decisions in our lives. Amen? How will we know? How will we know? You want to start a business. It's a lot of money invested. Nobody can tell you what the future of the country holds. Nobody can tell you if there's going to be a need for that product. Nobody can tell you if there's going to be competition that will wipe you out. Can you see? How will you know? There's so many unfathomables. Now, you can think it through as best you can and not make stupid decisions. However, at the end of the day, what we need is for God to give us the green light, as it were. Can you see that? And this is where the peace of God is critical, crucial. It is possible if you and I understand the peace of God, when we're faced with a decision, just to wait on him, and when we get the peace of God, we go for it, despite the circumstances. Amen? There are investors that I know of, heard about. One man, a venture capitalist. What he does is people come to him with some project that they've got, and they want him to finance it, you see. Now, he's got to decide whether it's going to be a venture that will succeed, because if it does, then of course he gets interest. But if it doesn't, guess what? Kiss your money, goodbye. All right? And he had this principle. He would do his due diligence, as they call it, look into the whole thing and see if it sounded right for a start. But then, guess what he would do? Go into his prayer closet and wait on God. Amen? And if he got the peace of God, okay, he'd go ahead with it. If he didn't, no matter how good it looked, not interested. Amen? Do you know that on record he never made one mistake? How's that? Never made one mistake. Amen? Brothers and sisters, not all of us here are venture capitalists with the day, but the point is this. You realize we make decisions in life all the time. And it doesn't just apply to big decisions, also the small one. How many times have we just had a niggling in our heart? No, no. For example, go and visit my mother. Don't do it today. As it turns out, that day was a miserable day from a rain point of view, and on the road in the rain, it's not a good idea, or whatever. You understand? We just had a niggle. We didn't have peace. Now listen, if you and I don't have peace to start with, guess what? You won't know the difference, will you? Amen? If we are in such turmoil because of our own condition, the waves are so blurred that if God wants to give us His peace, we haven't got it even to start with. What we're talking about, we're living in His peace, and what happens? God just removes it, as it were. Can you see? That peace now becomes our umpire. Can you see how powerful this peace is? It can help us to make the right choices. And let's be honest, the quality of your and my life is a result of the quality of the decisions that either somebody else made or we made. It's as simple as that. All right? To start off with, it's more to do with other people's decisions. But as we get older in life, it's more and more dependent on our decision. Many people come from terrible circumstances and never get out of it. Other people do. Why? They made the right choices, or they continue to make the wrong choices. We've met people that no matter what you tell them, they will go and make the wrong decision. Amen? But now, you and I want to make the right decision. And let me just say this, the right decision is not always a question between good and bad. You understand? It can be between something that's good and something equally as good. Which one do you do? Can you see? Do I go to university or do I go onto the mission field? All right? Both are good things to do. Amen? But if you don't have peace about the one, go with the one that you have peace about. Can you see that? But you and I will not be able to follow the peace in our heart if we don't have peace to start with. Can you see that? If you don't have peace, when more peace is taken away, you won't even notice. Amen? If we are terribly in debt when somebody steals 5 rand from us, not going to make any difference. Can you see that? So we've got to realize that, you see, once again, that peace is available. How do we work to achieve it? Well, first of all, we have to have received the Lord. There's no way you and I will have peace without Him. It's impossible, because our sin will always exist and be a barrier, okay? But that's gone. How do we keep our peace? We maintain it. We be aware of it. Whenever we feel we've done something wrong, go back to God, ask Him for forgiveness. Very often, God reminds me of things I did long ago. Long ago. I can't do anything about it now, but what can I do? Bring it before the Lord and say, please, clean that with your blood. I don't want to have anything to do with it. All right? That's harming your peace to go back and rehearse that. It's over. Just in the future, you know not to do something like that again. Can you see? It's like tuning a guitar. You and my minds get distracted. What have we got to do? Keep our minds on God. And how do we do that? By continually renewing our mind with the Word. I can't say that enough. How important it is every day to spend that time letting that Word of God wash over us and just bring our minds back to harmony with God. It's like our guitar here. If I just leave that guitar, after a while it's going to sound, not that it sounds so fantastic at the moment, but what I'm saying, if I don't tune it, it's going to get a lot worse. With the temperature changes, those strings, they stretch, they shrink, if left alone, my point is, it will automatically go out of tune. Amen? You and I, if left to our own devices, will automatically go out of tune. We will lose our peace. Even if we are Christians, gloriously saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what have I got to do? Well, you see, that guitar's got an onboard tuner. You can tune it to something. Can you see that? It's no good saying, I'll just tune it, but you've got no external reference. Eventually, what will happen? If I tune it to itself, our singing will get higher and higher and higher, or lower and lower and lower. But we won't be where we're supposed to be. I've got an external point of reference. Can you see that? To tune it to. We've also got an external point of reference, the Word of God. Can you see that? The thoughts of God are our external, eternal points of reference. If we can tune to the thoughts of God in our thinking, deep down in our belief system, etc., guess what? We'll be in harmony with Him. We'll be connected. And then what? Supernaturally, we will have God's peace. God will be able to leave His peace with us. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, isn't in eating and drinking as much as we enjoy doing those things. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Righteousness, you see righteousness, right standing. With that right standing with Him, we have eternal peace. And when we have peace, we can have proper joy, no matter what. I think that's beautiful. Amen. I preached myself happy. Yeah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. I pray that we would live, not just experience, live in your peace, despite everything the devil throws at us, so that we'd be a good testimony, Lord, that we'd be a haven, Lord. We think of ships in stormy weather. What do they long for? A place, a haven, a harbor, where the storms are abated, where they are protected. People are looking for a safe haven in this day and age. I pray, Lord, as we labor to enter into your rest, the rest you provided for us, by removing every wall of division, pray that we might know that peace. Be that haven. Be guarded by you and experience not only right standing with you, the peace that comes with it, and the eternal joy. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.